Well, one of Park City's most iconic personalities, Iris Sack Sr., is the subject of a new documentary that will open the Slam Dance Film Festival later this month. Joining me by phone, I have the filmmaker of the film. It's titled Film About a Father Who, that's Lynn Sacks, along with the co-founder and director of Slam Dance, Peter Baxter. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Peter, let's start with you and have you give us the Reader's Digest version of this year's festival, the number of films, the submissions you had, how many new filmmakers you've got coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good morning, everyone. Well, it's been a 2019, actually, the 2020 festival was a record-breaking one. We received over 8,500 submissions for this year's festival, and we'll be at Treasure Mountain Inn, showing just over 100 of those selections, programmed by filmmakers, for filmmakers. All of the program that we have at the festival this year has been selected then by filmmakers who've been part of Slam Dance before. You know, an artist-led organization, as you know, and this program really speaks to the filmmaker community. And the choices that were made, I think, were really exciting. And we've got, obviously, a really exciting opening night film here with Lynn's film, Film About a Father, to kick things off.
Yeah. Tell me, what stood out about Lynn's film, the subject matter or the filmmaking? And Lynn, of course, not a new filmmaker. In fact, I think I read that she's made about 35 films, and you have always said that you're about the new filmmaker.
What's remarkable about Lynn's film and really stood out for us is that we believe it's breaking the boundaries of documentary filmmaking. Here we have a family, and most families have fallouts, and the ruptured and the intense one in Lynn's film, amazing documentary, reveals how far bloodlines can stretch without losing connection altogether. And though this is an extremely personal film, and Arthur several times really choose between, you know, love and hate, she's really exploring a universal theme that we all think about from time to time, which is the extent to which one human being can really know another. And in this case, it's her dad. And this really makes for a remarkable film, a type of documentary that we haven't seen. And for this reason, we really wanted to present it as our opening night film.
So, Lynn, let's bring you into the conversation. How is your dad? I haven't seen him around in a few years.
He's doing well. He also spends quite a bit of time in warmer weather in Florida when the weather is, you know, when Park City is in full snow time. But he's doing fine. He's good, and he still loves the landscape and the community of Park City. So it's very meaningful to all of us to have the world premiere for this film in Park City.
Yeah.
In his hometown.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, he was quite the skier, so he's kind of given that up.
Yeah, it's a little too challenging these days, and he wants to continue a good long life, and I guess he feels a little hesitant to be out there on the mountains. Yeah, but
sure,
he would be there the first day of the season, and he'd you know, close down the slopes at the end of the spring.
Yeah, I've met your dad over the years, and so I understand why he would make such a great subject for a film. But to make it, I mean, you've got to have the film, the video. I mean, it's not like he's a rock star with lots of archival footage. So where did all of the film come for this?
So I actually decided I wanted to make a film about my father in 1991 and started doing interviews. And I made many other films in between. And you mentioned I've made 35, but I want to point out some of them are very short because I make those longer personal essay film documentaries, but also I'm very keen on short sort of art pieces. But anyway, in 91, I just said, you know, my dad's been such a big presence in my life in all different kinds of ways, and also in my siblings, and but also in the community. And the film does focus more on our family dynamics. You get a sense of the community, and there's lots of material from Park City, but I couldn't cover every year of the 83 years he's lived his life. But I was always shooting Super 8 material. The first footage I shot was actually in 84 before I realized that it was going to be a longer film and really like a portrait of his life. But then in 91, I officially started the movie and then continued to shoot almost every time we were together for many, many, many years until this year.
All right. So it is an authorized biography. Tell us about what you wanted to show the world about your dad.
I guess one of the things I was trying to explore is that as much as we can know a parent, we also have limitations. It's like the parent leaves an imprint on you, and you know you're carrying that through throughout your life, but also that parent goes on and continues to have his or her own relationships, and my father certainly did too. So there were parts of his life I knew a great deal about, and other parts that were, more secretive. And so that all became much more open in the last few years, and we had deeper conversations about it and were able to investigate that. And so I think it's not like the kind of thing where some people want, you know, they go back and they do intense interviews and then they have a kind of complete understanding. I'm actually as interested in the search as I am in what you find.
Yeah. And part of that whole dynamic there, of course, you're one of nine kids of his.
That's right.
Two wives. I don't know. And I think that maybe the other children from girlfriends as opposed to kind of a legal situation or.
Actually, there are six mothers and nine kids. And some of the moms were two of the moms were wives and the others were girlfriends. And some of my siblings were born actually the same year, but from different moms. So it was an inventive situation and sometimes challenging, and so because we weren't always prepared. I think that was a big part of it, like how you prepare for the news, how you prepare to love another person, how do you deal with a person you didn't know about, and then you find out about and you want to embrace them, but you also have to figure out how they fit into your psyche.
Yeah. So are you close with your siblings of different women besides your mother?
Actually, we are very, very, very close. And I would say that my father, it's kind of like nine, it's a coincidence, but it's a bit like nine planets. So we all circulate around him in different kinds of ways. For example, one of my sisters, Julia, I had just gotten to know in the last 5 years, but we're very, very close. She lives in Park City. Because there's a certain kind of way that we understand each other through my dad. It's like he has a, shall I say, like a language, and you get it or you don't, but most of us do get it, and so it brings us closer.
Yeah. Now, does the film delve into his imprint here in Park City? Of course, he was the developer of Park City's first chain hotel, the Holiday Inn, now known as the Doubletree, formerly known as the Yarrow.
There's a shot of the Yarrow in the film, and there's a lot of shots. You probably will recognize a few people in the film. One of my dad's closest, there's just a brief shot. One of my father's closest friends who's no longer with us is in the movie. And you get the feeling of Park City. There's a lot of Wasatch Mountain landscape material. People will see how much the landscape has changed. Because some of my footage goes back to the 80s. So, it's kind of, in a way, a document of that transformation.
Yeah, well, and he was probably, I think, one of the first people with a cell phone, and he used to carry that brick-sized phone attached to him skiing all of the time. You got any footage of that?
You're going to see that in the movie. Yeah. When we called it a mobile phone, but his very first phone was set up in a car when we all are from Memphis, Tennessee. So he was definitely one of the first people to have a phone because, as he says in the movie, that's the way he did business. And yeah. Also with a shoebox.
And he wouldn't be bashful in saying that he loves women, beautiful women, and he always surrounded himself with beautiful women. Is that part of this at all?
Definitely. Definitely. I'll just say I don't hold back on that.
Yeah.
Because being a daughter, you have to reckon with it. You have to either run away or you have to face it. You have to, being a feminist, you have to figure out how you're going to embrace that situation. And I did my best to explore it and to also know that he lived his own life. And they, you know, I also really tried to connect with those women and to figure out what it would be like to be those women, you know, not through conversations that are in the film. So it's both a kind of like a cubist piece where you see my dad from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah, well, as a pot smoker, too, because I know he liked to smoke pot.
That's addressed, definitely, in the film. I talk about that.
Yeah. And at one time, he owned a hotel in Bali. Does the film take us to Indonesia?
Actually, it does. That's the very, very, very first footage I shot was in 84, because I was with my dad in Bali with my sister, Dana. So it's so funny. You know a lot about my father, going back like 35 years.
I've been watching him from a distance, yeah. Tell me, what does he think about the film?
He is really supportive. I'll say my dad cried, and it's one of the first times I've seen him cry, and that was extremely moving to me. But, you know, for anybody to see your life on a screen, he saw it while I was working on it, and he saw it just recently. I came to Park City, and I showed it to him at his house.
Nice.
Because I wanted him to be able to see what was in it. But, you know, most of us, we move past the years of our lives, and there might be our snapshots of birthday parties and holidays, but this is all the things in between.
All right. I just have another minute or so. I know there's a lot of locals, though, who would love to see your film, Lynn. After Slam Dance, does it come to the Park City Film Series, Netflix? Do we know?
I don't know. The next screening will be at the Museum of Modern Art. It's going to be here in February for the New York premiere for a couple of nights. And then I'll go on. You know, I'm happy to bring it back to Park City, so I'll figure that out. But really, I'm just like starting the whole journey with this movie. And so I'll keep people posted on that.
All right. Well, Peter, thanks for bringing Lynn's film to Slam Dance. Real quickly, tickets and passes on sale?
Yeah, we're very excited about bringing Lynn's film to Slam Dance. And tickets for Lynn's film and other films at Slam Dance can be actually purchased along with passes on slamdance.com. That's where everything can be found, including the schedule. And the festival runs the 24th of January through the 30th.
Yeah. And real quick, back to you, Lynn. Did you and your brother, yeah, Ira Jr., have to draw stalls, or that you had already told him back in the 90s that you were making a documentary? I know your brother did
asked all the right questions. Well, you know, Ira made a film called 40 Shades of Blue, which was a veiled portrait of my dad, because it wasn't exactly my dad, and Rip Torn played the part of the quasi-Ira Sachs. There were a lot of differences. And that film took place in Memphis. And so Ira makes narrative films, and I make more experimental, personal documentary films. But there is definitely footage in my movie that Ira shot in Russia with my dad, which I think people will find very interesting, especially with all the conversations around Russia. So my dad was doing business, but also having a very good time, which he always did. It was always a combination. It's always and continues to be a combination of both of those things.
Okay. I need to leave it there. Peter Baxter, Lynn Sachs, thanks for your time this morning.